All right, so John chapter number 14. Very familiar passage, and I think very fitting for this time. And I want to speak on this subject this morning, how to have peace. How to have peace. John chapter number 14, starting in verse number 1. Scripture says, Christ speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." There's so many things in upheaval right now, as Brother Jake was talking about, and you turn on the news, you look up on the news website on your phone or on your computer, and all the news about the coronavirus and the number of cases just skyrocketing across the globe. The stock market tanking. Businesses closed or being limited. I drove through Brahms this morning and they've got their dining room closed. They still have the little store open and the drive-thru open, but not being able to go dine into a restaurant, those kind of things. People being told not to congregate, what they're calling social gatherings, limiting those, 10 fewer people, some places 50 or 100. There's different standards across the states right now. And it's amazing, that's not just for a birthday party, but I've heard of, just in this past week, people getting ready for a wedding and not being able to hold the wedding because of these regulations, and funerals being put off to later dates because of these regulations that are in place. Folks unable to visit loved ones in hospitals or care facilities. All sense of normalcy seems lost right now. But may I say to you that if there ever was a time when this scripture in John chapter 14 rang true, it is today. Let not your heart be troubled. I remind you, when Jesus said these words, it was not in a great mountaintop moment of his ministry. This isn't after a feeding 5,000. This isn't after walking on the water. This isn't, one of the apex moments of his ministry. In fact, it's one of the darkest times. In just a few hours from this time, Christ is going to be betrayed by one of his own. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be taken through a mockery of a trial. He'll be beaten. He'll be mocked. He'll be scourged. He'll be condemned and he will be crucified. Mere hours after he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You see, he's trying to give his disciples comfort and hope to hold on to during those dark hours ahead. And as crazy as times are right now, I can't even imagine how it compares to what those men in that room that heard those words went through. For the next 3.5 days, their world was turned upside down. Their Lord, their friend, beaten and scourged and crucified. In fact, when we find them next at the end of this period, where are they? They're in hiding. They're in a room locked away. They're afraid they'll be next. It's a very scary time, and I always think about trying to put myself in the shoes of those disciples during this time, and the confusion and the not knowing what is going on or where this is leading. In retrospect, as we look back and as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record this, I mean, they have the benefit of the 2020 benefit of hindsight. They look back and, oh, those 3 days weren't important because look what happened. Christ rose. But I think back to those days and I try to put myself in the shoes of those disciples, the uncertainty they must have went through. How can we have hope in the darkest of times? Well, I want to draw a few points from just verse number 1 of chapter number 14 of the book of John. First off, we can have hope or have peace because of faith. Note what he says. Believe. Ye believe in God. Believe. Faith is the key element that combats anxiety and fear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him." Faith is the key for the Christian. In fact, for a Christian, it begins with faith. It begins at salvation. It begins when we are convicted of our sins, when we look at our own lives and our own lack of righteousness, because even our best is nothing in the sight of God. And we admit, in the words of Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we look and we admit that we are miserable, wretched sinners who have broken God's laws. And not just because we've broken God's laws, but there's actually a sentence that's been placed on us. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, the first part of that verse says, "The wages of sin is death," that price that's earned. What's the punishment for our sins? It's death, and not just a physical death, not just your heart ceasing to beat and your lungs ceasing to pump air. But that's a spiritual death. That's eternal separation from God. That's death in hell. And because we are sinners, we stand before God judged and condemned, doomed to an eternity away from God. But the good thing is that there was a Savior. And the rest of Romans 6:23 says this, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The good news is God sent His only begotten Son. He loved us so much that He came, He lived among us, lived a perfect, sinless life. And that He, the perfect Lamb of God, died, shed His blood, not for His own crimes or His own penalties, for He had none. But His blood was shed for us to pay for our sins. By His stripes we are healed, in the words of the prophet. And that leads to the solution. And like I say, it all comes back to faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How is it that we get this free gift of eternal life from God? It is through our faith in Him. It's us placing our trust in Christ, in the finished work that He did, not in our own merits, not in our own goodness, but fully trusting on the Christ of the cross, His shed blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection as the payment for our sins. Not just a payment, but the obliteration, the conquering of our sin debt. And when we call upon God, and listen, how simple is that? I was 4 years old when I heard a preacher one Sunday morning preach about hell, and it scared me to death. And that Sunday night, one of the other preachers there in the church took me in the pastor's office, there on the little couch, it was right inside the door, took his Bible and showed me some of these same verses I've just read from. Told me how I was a sinner, but how Christ loved me and died for me. And if I would just place my trust in Him and call on Him for salvation, it would be given to me. As a four-year-old, I remember doing that. And I remember how I felt even as that young age, as if the burden, the weight of this world was off those tiny shoulders. See, that's the solution. It's because of our faith in God, our faith in Christ, that we can have peace. And with that, there also comes security. In fact, look no further right here in John chapter number 14. Look what it says in verse number 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Christ has said, I'm not going to lose you. I'm not going to leave you. If I go, I'm coming back. I've got things prepared for you. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a will for us. He wants a relationship with us. All of those wonderful things, that's the security of the position of the believer. And let me say this, that simple, childlike saving faith is also the faith that we live by. With childlike faith, we call upon Christ for salvation. And with childlike faith, we hold to God's mighty hand as we walk through life. So first off, we see we can have peace because we believe in God. Second, we can have peace because of God. Notice there, it says ye believe in who? In what? In God. Faith is only as good as what you place it in. Imagine, if you will, a basketball team. And you have to imagine this nowadays because there's no sports going on right now. Nobody knows what to do with themselves, and no March Madness or anything like that. But imagine, if you will, that March Madness tournament, and it comes down, and it's a tie ball game, and here's your chance to win it all, to win the national title. You've got 3 seconds to inbound the ball, and you need someone to take that shot to win the game. Who takes that shot? Well, number one, whoever takes it's a human. They're going to miss them. I've seen the stats. I can't remember. As Michael Jordan made so many game-winning, buzzing-beating shots, but also missed quite a few too. Same thing. Babe Ruth, had the record for home runs. He also still holds the record for strikeouts, I believe. So humans fail. But who do you want to? Well, it's who are you going to put your faith in? The guy that's on the back of the bench who hadn't played all season, or are you going to put it in your star player, the guy who's clutch, who never misses, who has ice in his veins? Well, you're going to trust in the person you have faith in. Now, it's an imperfect illustration because humans will fail, because God will never fail. You know, we don't have to trust in our government. Our government will fail you. Why? They're humans. They're good at failing us. You don't have to trust in the economy. So many folks, their security is in their wealth and in their portfolio. So many people are affected right now. They're so scared because of their job situation, their retirement, things like that. You don't have to trust in it. You don't even have to trust in the experts. I like the saying that said the experts built the Titanic, amateurs built the Ark, and it stayed afloat. We don't have to trust any of those things because we can trust in the one that never fails, the great God Almighty of this universe. And you look back at his track record in the book of Genesis. He told Abraham and Sarah that he said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation. He said, you're going to have a child. And even past childbearing age, they still had that miracle child, Isaac. He fulfilled his promise. He told the people of Israel he would bring them out of Egypt, and he did, through the plagues, through the crossing of the Red Sea, through the mighty miracles, through the strong arm of our God, he brought them out of Egypt. And God promised that he would save us from our sins, and he delivered, because God took upon himself flesh and dwelt among us and suffered and died on that cross and rose again for us to pay for our sins. I remind you that nothing has ever caught God off guard. In the words of Psalm 147, verse number 5, great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. God knows all. Scripture talks about him knowing all the hairs of our head. It's getting fewer and fewer. In fact, we've got the light turned off right above me because my head was shining so bad you couldn't see my face on this camera earlier. God knows everything. He knows the atoms that make us up. He knows how fast they're spinning. God, in fact, I believe this. I believe God, his wisdom is so great and so vast, it's beyond understanding. But I think he even knows all the possibilities that we could never even imagine. But this situation didn't catch God off guard. The crisis we have, the problems that you're facing here today, did not surprise God. In fact, I guarantee you this, he loves us, he cares for us, and he's going to carry us through whatever we come through. I thought of the words of Psalm 23 as I was writing this sermon. And I thought of how we turn to the wonderful 6 verses there in times of distress. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And the wonderful pictures of peace that has. But that also neglects, though, a couple of verses when you look at those first couple of verses. I mean, it's peaceful. There's nice, wonderful green pastures. There's a nice little stream, and it's a very calming pastoral setting in that sense. But you look at a couple other verses, what do they talk about? The valley of the shadow of death. It talks about preparing a table in the presence of mine enemies. The valley of the shadow of death, the middle of it being surrounded by your enemies, and yet there's comfort in God, even in the darkest situations that we face. God is there, and God cares for us. So we can have peace because of our faith. We can have peace because of who our faith is in, God. And we can also have faith because our faith in Christ. The last part of that verse is, believe also in me. When you look out across the vast spectrum of religions out there today, from Buddhism to Islam to Hinduism to the simple pagan tribal religions out in the uncivilized parts of the world, and you look at them, the one thing that you will find that they never have is a God who truly cares and understands about us. Their gods are afar off. They don't understand human beings. Go back and you read the myths of old of the Romans and the Greeks, and the gods are this superior race, and they just dally with the affairs of men. Men are just but chess pieces in the celestial game to them. But our God is different. Our God created us. Our God loves us. And greater than that, how do we know that? Because He dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse number 14 says this, and the Word was made flesh, that God Almighty, the second person in the Trinity, the Son, took upon Himself the form of a human, dwelt 9 months in a virgin's womb, was born, went through the stages of human development, toddled along, grew physically. He hungered. He got thirsty. He grew tired in the journey. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Along the way, He interacted with the sick, the hurting, the dying. All the spectrum of human emotions our God walked among. He understands what we went through. In the words of Hebrews chapter number 4, verses 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking about Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15 is important. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. How important is that? He knows what we're going through. He knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it is to see the hurt and the pain and the worry and the distress. Therefore, in verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why can we have peace at this time? Because our Savior knows what we're going through. He loves us, He cares for us, and He understands. I have had in my mind for the past few weeks, it's an older song. In fact, the tune's very old, but evangelist J. Wilbur Chapman, I believe it was, that wrote new words to it. And the tune, the song is Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners. It goes something like, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. What a mighty, wonderful, loving, gracious, merciful Savior that we have. Let me conclude with just a couple of things here. First off, the most important thing you can do in all this world is to trust Christ for salvation, as we spoke about earlier, to admit that we are sinners before God, to admit that we are under a dreadful sentence because of our guilt, but that our Savior came and shed His blood for us and paid 100% of that penalty for us, so that we, through faith in Him, could call on His name and receive that free gift of salvation. That's the most important thing in the world. Don't get distracted and think, well, it's hand sanitizer or toilet paper or anything else like that. The greatest need in this world right now is for the gospel. You know, when you look across this, I've heard multiple people make this statement over the last couple of weeks. When you look out at all the world and you look at the panic, you look at the uncertainties, look at how many of these people are afraid of dying. You know, for a Christian, dying is actually one of the best things to happen. We just get to graduate from this life to the next. And how can you have that confidence? How can you have that peace and that assurance? Even in the worst and darkest of times, it is in Christ Himself. The second thing to remind you is that, yes, we place our faith in Christ for salvation, but it doesn't just stop there. Our faith continues as in Him as we walk this Christian walk, as we travel the dusty roads of this world. We need to keep trusting in Christ for our daily bread, for our daily sustenance, for the cares and anxieties that often bear us, we bear and weigh us down. Let's keep on living in faith in Christ. And last of all, let me leave with this. It's another old song I thought of. I think it's a Vep Ellis song, and I'm sure Carrie would appreciate it. But it's an old quartet song I heard the Blackwood Brothers a recording of, dude, called "Everywhere." Something about "Everywhere Our Savior Went, He Was Doing Good. Everywhere Our Lord Was Doing Good." I'm not sure exactly what the title was, but I thought about that old song, and it talks about how, you know, he went, and when he went, the lame would be walking, the dumb would be talking, and the miracles and the help that our Savior did while He was on this earth. Might I say that our Savior is our ultimate example. And as He walked the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea, and He helped those that were suffering, here's a great time for us to do the same. Let's reach out to our neighbors. Let's show some kindness. Let's show some compassion. Let's find some needs that we can meet. In this time of distress, in this time of uncertainty, let's not look at the problem. Let's look for the opportunities. Let's look where we can make a difference. Because there are people out there who are hurting. There's people in need right now. And not just because they need a gallon of milk or just because they're worried about getting sick. The greatest need of all is still out there. Somebody out there needs to hear that Christ loves them and that He died for them and that true peace is only found in Him. Let's look for those opportunities. I pray that during this time of uncertainty, things are different. I guess we got two people sitting in pews right now at this moment. It's very odd to look out and see pretty much an empty room right now. Things are uncertain. We can focus on that, or we can focus on the opportunities. What that means is we've got this many people that are out in the world right now. And as the sign says above our door when you walk out, it says you are now entering the mission field. Well, we got a lot of folks out on the mission field right now. Let's look for some opportunities to be a blessing, to share God's love with those round about us. I'm going to pray, and then Brother Randy's going to come and lead us in a closing song. At the end of that, Brother Jake's going to come and close us with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day, and thank You for the opportunity we have. What a marvelous age we live in, that even though the church house may be empty, we can still gather even online like this and take part in the service and share God's Word. Lord, I pray that if there's someone out there under that is watching this, that they hear the words of the gospel, the simple truth that Christ died for our sins and our faith in Him grants us eternal life. Lord, I just pray that if someone needs that message, this gets to them, that true peace is found only in Him. And Lord, I just pray for our church folks. I pray for their peace of their heart. I pray for their needs to be met. I pray that we be able to help each other during this time. But Lord, I just pray that we rise up as a church to meet the challenge that we have, that we find those opportunities to be a blessing to those around about us, to illustrate God's love through our actions, but also to share the message of Christ's love for us during this time. Be with our folks. Keep them safe. Thank you again for this wonderful day. I pray in thy holy name. Amen.